Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to us live from the studio today. We are having another great guest for you. Of course, last week we were at the ICRS, and we had a lot of authors out there and interviewed, did the tally. I think we did 48 interviews out there in less than 3.5 days. And on Wednesday, I was tired, ready to call it quits because I was just tired of interviewing, and my whole body was tired. But you know, we try to service everyone out there. We can't get to them at all of them at one time, and then there's still more people out here that still need to be interviewed as well. But today we have someone that has a unique story that they're going to share with us, and just their book and everything. Miss Dr. Allison Wiley, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful, David. Thank you so much for having me. What a great day.
Amen. Well, we're excited that we can have you on the air with us just because we know that your schedule is just as busy as our schedule. And are you from the Houston area?
I am. I actually live in the Woodlands. I've been a resident of Houston since 1989. And this really very much is home for me and my children.
Awesome. Well, we're in Kingwood, actually Atascocita, but you know, I live in Kingwood, so we're neighbors, my friend.
Amen.
we're neighbors and stuff. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. Well, I am one of the ambassadors to the United Nations for the Word of Life Ministries International Third World Leaders Association. That's a long name.
Yeah, that
but
is.
But David, I emphasize it because there's something very unique about that organization. Our chairman of the board is Dr. Miles Monroe, and we are the very first full gospel and only full gospel ministry that has received special consultative status with the United Nations and the Department of Social and Economic Council to help third world countries all over the world, and it's such an honor to be able to have that role. And I'm so excited to be able to share that information with your listening audience and to be able to give them my testimony as well and about share the information about the book Lifted.
Well, first, let us find out about yourself there. Tell us about your testimony, and then we're going to go into how you got to get involved with this organization, then we'll jump into your book.
No problem. Really, I always knew I had a book in me, David, but the testimony really starts in 2005. That's really when my life became like almost like a movie. In 2005, my husband of 9 years was sentenced to and convicted of a crime and sentenced to 10 years in prison. And I was 4 months pregnant with my fourth child at the time. And so suddenly I went from a woman who was taking care of a husband and children to a woman who had really nothing, had to figure out how to live, how to survive. And then the year after that, my best friend Jackie died to cancer. And then the year after that, our second son, Jason, at the age of 6, was diagnosed with leukemia and immediately started cancer treatment. And if that wasn't enough, David, if that wasn't enough to discourage me and take me out, by the next year, I had lost everything, including my home and all of my finances. And I just tell you, it was a terrible, terrible, terrible 5 years of destruction. But I'm just here rejoicing because what the enemy meant for evil, our God, the Almighty One, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, turned it into something so good. And he ordered my steps into the path of a prophet, a man of God such as yourself, who prayed with me, held my hands, and began to just prophetically realign my life. Began to call out certain days of my life, day 7, day 14, day 21, day 40, and day 56. And by day 56, David, to God be the glory, my life was completely turned around. By day 56, I was an ambassador to the United Nations. And by day 40, I was in front of my very first president.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Now, when this all started to happen and you started seeing just the calamity coming towards your life, what were some of your thoughts?
Well, David, I mean, I was in shock. I couldn't understand why this was happening. And I really didn't question God as to why. But the question at that point was, how am I going to get out of these situations? Because there was no calamity. It was crisis after crisis after crisis. Every year, for 5 years. It was some type of loss, sudden loss, some type of devastation. And what at one point I did rebel and I got angry. You know, when we lost our home, I remember just clenching my fists and kneeling on that carpet and just saying, God, congratulations, you have systematically destroyed me over 5 years. But I want everybody who is listening to this broadcast to understand you may be angry at the situations that you're faced with in your life, and you may also want to question and be angry with this God. But you have to come to realizations and understand that He is the only one that can fix it. And once you get to that point and lay it at His feet and trust that your affliction will end, and it surely will come to an end, you will see His mighty hand of deliverance. And that thing that you're calling crisis, it's not crisis unless you allow it to overwhelm you, to overtake you, and change the confessions of your mouth. And when you hold on to the Word of God, particularly the word of a prophet, the Bible says if you believe in the Lord thy God in 2 Chronicles 20:20, that you will be established. But if you believe in the word of a prophet, you shall prosper and succeed. So believe the Word of God. And if you have a prophet that is speaking into your life, believe his word so that you can prosper and come to your expected end.
Wow. Now, share with all the listeners, where were you before all this started just to collapse? Where were you in life?
I was in a great place. Financially, we were good. Maritally, we were good. Materially, we were good. Spiritually, we were good. I did not have to work. All I was doing was sitting at home, producing babies and living a life of a socialite. But quickly, all of that was pulled from me. And when I look back and reflect on it, David, I really realize that that crisis that I was going through over a five-year period was to prepare me for this new position that I have now in working with the United Nations and going into third world countries and really sharing the story of Lifted in the book and empowering them to come against poverty, empowering them to come against sickness and disease, all using the principles of Jesus Christ. If these things did not come my way, I may have not been living in the purpose and the path that God originally destined for me.
Amen. Amen. Tell us about some of the work you do through the ambassadorship that you have.
Absolutely. What I do is assist United Nations fulfill their Millennium Development Goals. They have a deadline by 2015 where they want certain things that are prevailing third world countries to be fixed. And one of them is global health, and then they have the issues of advancement of women and children, education, and poverty alleviation. Well, I work with all of that. I am a pharmacist by trade, so I tend to focus on the global health agenda where we can make sure that third world countries have access to good pharmaceutical drugs and also an adequate supply of it. Many listeners may not understand that a lot of the third world countries, particularly in Africa, cannot always afford the best medication, so they get victimized with counterfeit drugs, and they also get victimized where they don't have a lot of medications available. If you think about children in Africa dying of measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox, and diarrhea, I mean, that should shock you, because we virtually have alleviated those diseases here in America, but they're still dying from those things over there, and that is not of God. So we try to bring the kingdom message to them, letting them know that divine health is their portion as we're bringing in these programs. I also work with the private sector to encourage them to do business over abroad so we can get these people jobs, and then that fulfills the MDGs of poverty alleviation. And I also go there and minister and encourage the women and children, letting them know that all things are possible through this Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. So you are a registered pharmacist in Texas, correct?
I am. I own two businesses, two pharmacies in Houston, Texas. I also own a pharmacy in Sierra Leone, which we're trying to get things established there as well. But, you know, just want to emphasize, David, being a pharmacist is what I do. It's not who I am.
Absolutely.
Who I am is, hallelujah, who I am is the woman that God has elevated and promoted to bring the kingdom message throughout the world, and I'm looking forward to other opportunities in India and the Middle East. Wherever he sends me, this is what I want to do for him. We are all ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We don't necessarily need to focus on the United Nations, but understand that each of us are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, as it is written in the Word of God.
Amen. Well, I go to India twice a year, so you're always welcomed.
David, you better put me on my list. I've got a message for the women in India.
All right. I'm serious. We've been needing to do a women's conference out there, like, big time, and finding someone that would journey that. It's a journey, because we take two flights, of course, to get there, and then a third, when we're inside, we got to take another flight and a five-hour train. So, but the other flight's just an hour, so, but, yeah.
David, that is good news, because I did receive a prophetic word December 13, 2010, that I would be going to India. So, man of God, you are in the spirit. You have caused the manifestation of my prophetic word. God bless you.
Amen. Well, you're always welcome, and we'll work out the details. But it is good. I always go between November, like in November, middle of the month, just before Thanksgiving, I get back, it's a good trip. But now, you wrote your book. Now, what caused you to write the book? I mean, what made you think you were going to put a book together? Did you feel weird putting a book together?
I did, David. I didn't. You know, when you go through so much, sometimes it can be embarrassing. When my husband was convicted of a crime, this was national news. It was on the Today Show. It was all over the syndicated radios and television interviews, because there was no case of its kind. And a lot of my friends turned their back on me. I went into isolation. I wouldn't come out the house and things like that. And I really didn't want to talk about it. But when I went to Dr. Miles Monroe's Global Leadership Conference, I met one of his board directors, whose name is Dr. Darrell Wilson. He's based out in Dallas. And I was just sharing with him my testimony. And at that point, the kingdom message on leadership that we were getting from Dr. Miles Monroe really quickened me and encouraged me and let me know that this was not my end. It was only the beginning. And when Dr. Wilson heard the story, he said, "Allison, you've got to write a book." And as a result of that, we have listed, and it's been in publication since September, and it's just blessing people's lives all over the world. We're looking to launch it in Ghana close to the end of the year. So we thank God for the testimony, and we thank God that, you know, everybody who hears the story can see that no matter what the crisis, there is a victory at the end of it all for each and every one of us.
Amen. I like the title, Lifted, and as a woman jumping up in the by the ocean. And it says, and a prospect for the world's poor, an optimistic outlook presented by a UN ambassador who once lost it all. That tells it all right there. That tells it
all. Amen.
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 So what did you learn? I mean, you had to revisit some of the things that were happening in those 5 years when you were writing the book. And how long from after the 5 years happened to when you put this book together?
Actually, very quickly. In 2010 was the year that I met the prophet, November of 2010. And like I said, supernaturally, in 56 days, my life completely turned around. And in 2011, September of 2011, is when the book was actually finished and completed and published and put on the press.
Wow. And when you started writing the chapters, how many times did you break down and cry?
Many times. You know, I started recording it. I don't consider myself a very gifted writer.
Okay.
So I started recording it. You know, that's a good point, David. No one needs to be discouraged about writing a book. If you don't feel like you have the writing skills, you can get a ghostwriter, you can record it, and have someone transcribe it for you, and that's how I did it. I recorded it on my iPhone, to be honest with you, and downloaded those files, gave it to a transcriptionist, and when she was done, I gave it to a ghostwriter, and they basically expounded it. So everybody can write a book. Everybody can write a book. Please don't be discouraged to think that you have to have certain skill set to do it. It's so much easier now. But as I was writing the book, I realized that in order for us to really minister in the things that God has called us to, we actually have to go through that fire. So how can I minister to people about sickness and disease unless I have experienced it? And I did. I experienced with the loss of losing my best friend, and I saw sickness and disease in my son, Jason. But we've overcome that, and now I can share the testimony and pull people through victory based on what I had to go through and get there. How can I talk to people about poverty and homelessness unless I've experienced that? And I did experience that. How do I talk to a woman who is a widow, who's lost her husband and she has to now take care of her children? Well, because of my experiences through that, now I can minister them as the one that lived it, tried it, overcame it, and now has the victory in her hand. So a lot of the challenges that people may be facing, your listening audience may be facing, they need to realize that sometimes crisis is a way of you coming face to face for why you were created by God. And once you get that realization of why you were created, then you give it back to Him and begin to minister in that area and begin to promote His messages and His kingdoms through your own experiences and the power of the Spirit of the living God. So, David, that's what I've learned, and I believe and I trust that everybody that is listening will be encouraged to keep on moving forward no matter what the challenge. God is not a respecter of persons. The same God who delivered me out of my crisis is the same God who's available today for them to deliver them out of their own.
Amen. Now tell us of some of the stories, the impact of stories that we'll find in your book.
Yeah, it actually reads like a movie. It starts out where my husband and I are in Tahiti celebrating his 40th birthday, and then we find out that he's facing indictment and he was needed right away back in Houston. And on our way back to Houston, he was stopped in Honolulu and detained, and we had to arrange for our attorney to come to Honolulu from jail. So it starts there, and then it goes into the story of Jason and Jackie. But most importantly, I really don't want to focus on the negative. Most importantly, it focuses on the word of the prophet and how sometimes it just takes one prayer from a man of God. He doesn't necessarily have to have the title of prophet, David. I know you pray for people all the time, but one word from a man of God can really change everything. And like I said, that one-minute prayer with this man, in 56 days, my life turned around where I was an ambassador. I began to open up businesses. I've been to Africa 5 times. I've met 4 presidents. I mean, it's just unbelievable. How does this happen? How does a woman lose everything? Her husband, and is raising 4 children, and can stand before a president and shake his hand and pray for him. It is only through the Almighty God. And that's the focus.
Amen.
That's the focus, David. That's the focus, that there is a testimony for every test.
Amen.
There is.
And now, tell us, when a person finishes reading your book and they put it down, whether it's they read it in the room or it's in their study or whatever, they finish cover to cover. Now, what do you want them to get the most out of that book?
I want them to understand that that book is not just my story, but it's everybody's story. And I want them to understand that that book reminds me of a king called David, who in 2 Samuel chapter 22 talks about when he cried unto God about the persecutions of Saul. And it says that God heard the cries of David, just like how he hears the cries of his people today. And God got angry. He filled his nostrils with smoke. He shook the foundations of the heavens. He bowed down the wings of cherubs. He exposed the channels of the sea in order to rescue David. And at the end, David says, because you have delivered me from that violent man and from that violent situation, now men that I do not even know have come to me. Nations are bowing at my feet. This is David crying out for deliverance in crisis. And when he is delivered, he comes to the realization that, yes, indeed, I am a king. What was spoken over my life by the prophet Samuel has now manifested because the nations are at my feet. Every reader that reads Lifted will understand that you are that David as you cry out to God. Whether it is a situation of bankruptcy, whether it is a situation of sickness, whatever it is, whatever that challenge, when you cry out to God, He will shake the foundations of the earth and fight for you and pull you out of that situation so that you can give Him praise and glory and realize who you were created from the foundations of the earth to be. Lifted is a story for every man, every woman, every child who is going through something that they feel like will not move. It must move. That mountain must come down in the name of Christ. I am asking the Almighty Jehovah to bow down the heavens and begin to free you from your crisis and bring you to your expected end. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Give some people out there just some instruction on how you got through it. I know you prayed and everything else. Tell them how you pray. Tell them, you know, how you got stubborn on the Word of God, and what other verses help you just push through.
Absolutely. 2 Samuel 22:49, and then the scripture, "Behold, I am the God of all flesh. Nothing is impossible with me." Not only did I pray, David, but you get to a desperation where you are going to engage all of your weapons of warfare to free yourself from devastation. And I went on a 52-day fast, and at the end of the 52-day fast, that's when my path was ordered. The Bible says that the path of the righteous is ordered by the Lord. And that's when I met that prophet, and he began to pray for me. I prayed. I fasted. I sowed seeds. I never, ever turned my back on believing that this thing was going to be over. I did get angry at God, and I did rebel, but surely he had me in the palm of his hand. People, get your prayer partners in place. Begin to pray. If you pray in the Holy Ghost, intensify your prayers. Begin to put yourself on a fast as ordained by God. Confess the Word of God many, many, many times a day, and just hold on to your faith and know that that affliction that you're going through shall come to an expected end. I'm a member of a wonderful, wonderful ministry called Zion Covenant Ministries, and we pray 7 days a week nonstop from 10 p.m. to 12:30 p.m., and that's 12:30 a.m., and that's a lot of the times I spent my nights there just praying through, asking God to release me, to break the yoke, to break the shackles, whatever was binding me in that situation, to free me. And at the end, through my warfare, I had the victory. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Well, I know you're a woman of faith and in prayer, and I would enjoy having you with me on the trips out there to India at any time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Tell everybody how to get your book, darlings.
Sure. Actually, the easiest way is just to Google me. You can Google Lifted, L-I-F-T-E-D, and then my name, Allison Wiley. Or you can go to our website, BeListedToday.org. That's B as in boy, E, ListedToday.org. Or you can also just go to Facebook. We have a link there where you can order the book. And we'll ship it to you wherever you are. It's an amazing read. The first 4 chapters of the book are available for you to read on that website, BeListedToday.org. And we really hope that it will encourage you to actually purchase the book, because a lot of the proceeds from that book go to help support the work that I'm doing in Africa, particularly in Nigeria. We're looking to build a school for the disabled over there.
Wow, well, I'm going to Kenya on Saturday. That's where I'm headed, and I'll be there for like till August 7th. We got some ministry preaching to the leaders and stuff, and doing some conferences, and we're beginning to have a global reach beyond the internet and beyond our. We have everything from healing ministries to, I'm out traveling doing healing ministries. Then I go overseas to do missions, and it just growing. God's doing something. I learned just to obey. He said, "Go, I go."
Awesome. David, God bless you for your obedience. I'm just so impressed by all of that.
And we definitely got to get a hold of you. I got your number, so I'll get a hold of you when I get back, and we'll just talk about India, just see, you know, what's a good time, and pray about it and see what God has for you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Give them your website one more time, darlings.
B as in boy, E, ListedToday.org. And you'll also be able to be updated on my interviews and the things that I'm doing all over the world. Asking all of you that are listening to keep me in prayer as I keep you in prayer. I'm praying for all of you without ceasing. And I know, I trust that, David, you're going to have many testimonies after this broadcast of the wonderful things that God has done for your people.
Amen. Amen. I agree. And I confirm and affirm that and believe it, that people are being touched. Why don't you go ahead and do one more prayer for everybody before you leave, darlings?
Absolutely. If you are listening to this radio broadcast, you're not here by accident. There is a time and season for everything. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads in prayer. Hallelujah. Almighty God, creator of the heavens and the earth, defender of your people, all-powerful, all-knowing God, never-changing God, man of war, lion of the tribe of Judah. Father, we thank you for this is the day that you have made, and rejoice in it, O God. We rejoice, O God, because we are among the land of the living. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to minister to your people on this line, O God. I thank you for the man of God. I thank you for his ministry and his call for nations, O Father. I thank you, O God, that this line shall go all over the world. I thank you that souls will be saved and lives will be touched. I thank you, O God, through the message of Lifted, that all doors are open unto your people today, and all bands are loose in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you that you are God that cannot lie, for surely you have said that you have protected us under the shadow of the Almighty. I thank you, O God, that we are hidden in the secret places of the Most High God. Father, I pray a blessing over your people today. Bless them in the point of their need. Let every petition that goes into the heavens, O God, be answered according to your will and plan. I loose angels, O God, on behalf of your people, O Lord. I chase them out to flight with packages of answers in the name of Christ. I plead the blood of Jesus over your people. I decree and declare, no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against them in judgment shall be condemned. I say that they shall have their victory. I say they shall have their praise report. I say, O God, that they are blessed and highly favored. I command them to arise and shine. I command them to break forth, O God. I command the blessings of Abraham to be unto them, O Lord. Whatever tribulation, whatever chaos or calamity, I condemn it in the name of Jesus. Let God arise and every enemy be scattered. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for your healing. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your might. I thank you that good news is coming. I thank you that deliverance is coming. I thank you that freedom is coming. For it is written, upon Mount Zion, there must be deliverance and holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess her possessions. Everyone at the sound of my voice, hear the word of the Lord. Possess your possessions. In the name of Christ, we pray this prayer in the name of the one who it is written, unto us a son is born, and unto us a child is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. I pray this prayer in the name of the one where it is said, in the heavens, and all power belongs to me in the earth. We pray this prayer of agreement in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And let the people on the prayer line say, amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you so much, my sister, for being on the air with us. And we really appreciate your time and your prayers for everyone out there.
Thank you, David.
Amen. We'll catch up with you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. All right, that was Dr. Allison Wiley. And, of course, you can get her book, beliftedtoday.org is the website. Lifted is the book. And that was an amazing prayer, an amazing testimony. If you're not used to people praying like that, then you need to get used to it, because God wants people to pray and get delivered. And we'll be right back in just a few minutes after these quick announcements from our partners and friends that have good words of advice for you. We'll be right back. Here's Trace Embry.
Why are my kids all different, though I raised them all the same? My answer, because you raised them all the same. Hi, I'm Trace Embry with a word from Shepherd's Hill Farm. Kids right out of the womb are like lumps of DNA clay. This is what I would call their nature. Some of that DNA clay, or nature, is soft and malleable. It forms into shape easily and without a lot of resistance. Forming it into shape is what I would call nurture. Another kid's DNA clay, however, may be hard and has to be chiseled into shape. The chiseling is still nurture, but the finished product requires a lot more work. And if all I did was try to shape with my bare hands clay that required a chisel, how long would it be before I was tired, frustrated, and hurt? This is why the Bible says parents must train up a child in the way he should go.
Shepherd's Hill is an alternative approach for parents and teens who've exhausted the conventional approaches to their problems. Learn how our biblically-based residential program is different from everything else you've tried at shfteens.org.
The death penalty. What does the Bible say? It says that the shedding of innocent blood defiles the land. It pictures a holy God who will not walk on polluted ground. He says the only way to cleanse the land is with the blood of those who murder. When God made his covenant with Noah and his descendants, he said, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man." Some who are against capital punishment are for abortion, death for the innocent, and life for the guilty. Capital punishment is all about protection and justice. The value of human life was clearly seen when God required the death of Christ to pay for our sin. God is looking for volunteers who will fight the good fight to provide justice for both the innocent and the guilty. ChurchOfTheKingMacAllen.org on Ware Road, just south of Trenton, 585-4402. Side with God against yourself, and you can't lose.
The Bible is all about Jesus Christ. Not just the bits in the Gospels where Jesus lives among us, but from Genesis to Revelation. The Old Testament tells us of Jesus coming for the first time, and in the Gospels, he's there with us. Then Jesus goes back at the end of the Gospels to be with his Father in heaven, and the remainder of the New Testament is to prepare us for his second coming, when he comes back again. Now, when we believe in Jesus, Colossians 3:3 tells us that our lives are hidden with Christ and God. So our lives, this represents your life if you're a believer in Jesus, is now brand new. No blemishes, no spots, no wrinkles, a little bit rough around the edges, but you're in a process of sanctification. God now takes your life and places you into Christ Jesus, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Hallelujah.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily 24/7 on your online connection.
A 60-second look at sports with your sports chaplain of the air, Dr. Dwight Allen.
I hear it debated that the best athletes in the history of sports were football greats Jim Brown, Walter Payton. Or when talking baseball, it's Willie Sahay Mays, Roberto Clemente, and I would agree. Yet I want to simply say the greatest athlete I've ever seen was a Major Todd Clark, who flies a F-16 jet for the U.S. Air Force Acrobatic Thunderbird Flying Team. It takes a real athlete to pull all those G's while breaking the speed of sound in defense of this country, or as those three Navy SEAL snipers on a swaying stern of a U.S. destroyer killing three pirate terrorists before they could kill the crew of Captain Frank Costello. Here are four of the finest athletes in the country that I have seen, and today I salute them all.
Is your teenager easily bored? Do activities that used to bring him pleasure no longer delight him? Does your teen often appear to be lethargic or even depressed? Hi, I'm Trace Embry with a tip from Shepherd's Hill Farm. There's a good chance your teen is experiencing a condition known as anhedonia. Anhedonia is not ADD, ADHD, or depression, although the symptoms are very often mistaken as such. Anhedonia is a destruction of the pleasure center in the brain, which often comes as a result of today's unbridled multitasking on any number of electronic gadgets and other entertainment vehicles. Unfortunately, medication instead of moderation is being given to our kids as a quick fix for the symptoms. The good news is that the pleasure center can rebuild itself, but you as a parent are going to have to be proactive.
Learn more about this topic at shfteens.org. Shepherd's Hill Farm is here to serve hurting families with teens in crisis. If you have a teenager with behavioral issues, we can help. Contact us at shfteens.org.
Humanism is the order of the day. Humanism is the enemy of Christ. Humanism says man's happiness is the purpose of life. But Christ says the main purpose of life is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Humanism is a noxious vapor that ascended out of the bottomless pit of the French Revolution and has permeated the atmosphere more and more since then. It has infected our scientists, our schools, and even our churches. It opposes anything that makes men feel uncomfortable. God's law is therefore despised and the Bible is attacked. Even Bible-believing preachers can be infected by it, by preaching a soft gospel that says, accept Jesus so you can go to heaven and be happy. No, God says, repent and be converted, flee from the wrath to come. Humanism is anything that makes man the focus instead of God. ChurchOfTheKingMacAllen.com on Ware Road, just south of Trenton, 585-4402. Side with God against yourself and be a winner.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily, 24/7, on your online connection.
All right, we're back, and we have our next guest, Richard and Patricia Geyer. How are y'all doing, my friends?
We're doing well.
Excellent. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. I'm glad you can make the show because we're about to have to move it around.
She just got back from a call out from the sheriff's office where she's the chaplain, so she's catching her breath.
Oh, wow. That's fine.
I'm fine now.
Okay, that is fine. Well, let all the listeners know just a little bit about both of y'all and then how y'all became chaplains and stuff.
Hey, Pat. Oh, okay. Well, it started out really with our experience in Hurricane Katrina, where we really got an exposure to serving people who are in crisis, which is the theme of our book, Chaplains of the Bible. Pat's experience was really, really intense, so I let her talk about her experience in Katrina.
When the first woman I put my arms around and just gave her a big God hug, she went to her knees and began to weep and explain what happened to her. And at that moment, I knew God was calling me to do something unusual. And the only word I can give you is he put a call on my life. And it took me a bit to figure it out, but I realized that going into chaplaincy, where I would be working with people who were in crisis and trauma or disaster, that's the type of chaplaincy that he was calling me to, and to be a crisis intervention specialist. So from there, Dick and I both went off to take our training, and it was an evolving thing over the years after that.
Now, were you involved in emergency response at that time when you were with Katrina?
No, I was not. Dick and I went with our church as quickly as we could get there, and we started to do ministry then. And neither one of us had heard of the word chaplain, let alone, which is why now our book is called Chaplains of the Bible, because we started to seek what God had designed for us.
Pat went into disaster relief chaplaincy. She's been to deployed to about a dozen disaster areas in the last 4 years. She's also the chaplain for our local sheriff's office. I went off in a different direction, working with veterans and teaching and writing. But I want to emphasize that even though we are both trained and certified as chaplains, our book is really oriented toward anyone, whether you're a chaplain or not, who is concerned about helping other people who are in crisis.
Wow.
And the thing about our book, Chaplains of the Bible, is when God laid this on our hearts, the basis that we worked off of was more than it just being the Word of God. We took a serious look at the time-tested teachings and stories of success from the Bible, of people, biblical people, who had ministered to others in distress. And those stories are time-tested because they worked in biblical days, and they still work in the present day and will work in the future for helping people.
We draw from those stories and from our experiences, we draw teaching points and principles that can be applied in contemporary life.
Well, now, what was both of your reaction when you got this call?
Pat, you want to go first?
I guess the first word I would use would be shock and bewilderment, in that I knew God was calling me to become highly focused in a spiritual way and a physical way and a cognitive way on individuals who were in crisis. So the word chaplain didn't occur to me instantly. It took a little prayer and research and figuring out, and I started trying different types of training to see if this was the area I was called in, and God clearly revealed it was chaplaincy.
And for me, you know, I began to think about the fact that this is what God has really called us to do, to help others who are in need. You know, the commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so that really led to where we are today for me.
Wow, that's amazing. And then, so when you went into training and everything, did you have some doubts when you were actually there getting your training?
100% of the time in the beginning. I signed up to begin my training, and I took one day's worth, and I felt, again, like the calling to become a chaplain, I felt that Dick was supposed to be involved in it, and it was a knowing that God had given me within my own spirit. So I came home that evening and said, "Dick, you are supposed to do this." And he said, "You've got to be crazy." And I said, "A little." But Dick went the next day, and with every training and every day, we saw more and more of God's will for us as a couple to be chaplains, but that we had different areas of chaplaincy that we would practice in.
Wow. Now, how long was the training?
The first beginning of it was 1 week, about 46 hours. And from there, that's just a tiny speck of the beginning. From there, you have to go on and do a lot of training. So I guess the best way to explain it would be, at this point, we still train.
Okay.
We still take new trainings and learn new things.
It's in the area of critical incident stress management and crisis experiences, which is what our focus is. It's on people who are in crisis.
Yes, the term that's given to me is I am a crisis intervention specialist. But the important thing about the book, Chaplains of the Bible, all along through our stories and in our mature Christian believers who were ministering, doing crisis intervention work with individuals who most of the time or many times were not even believers, but because of what they did, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, led them on to spiritual development down the road. So it does take some maturity in that you know about the Word of God and some of His commands to start on this journey that Dick and I followed the Lord on.
Now tell me, how did your kids react when they found out you're becoming chaplains?
That's a good question. Confused. What would someone at this stage in your life, we were both retired, enjoying life and had no real issues of anything going on, and as our society would call it, we were comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But we felt God was asking us to do something more and to be somewhat of possibly a trendsetter in a new area of Christianity that many people have not thought about.
Yeah, and don't overlook the fact that we are retired, because this is an important retirement activity or focus that many, many people can have, whether or not you get the training, formal training as a chaplain.
Right.
There are all sorts of opportunities for people to help other people, and for the retirees, this is really a good opportunity.
Oh, absolutely, because you see when and you see it a lot. I live in Texas, so we call them winter Texans. It's just all the retirees flood in here during the winter, and you're thinking, you know, I know they're enjoying themselves. I know they're, you know, they've done their part. They're content, and that's pretty much where they're at. And you're wondering, you know,
how many of them could be missionaries? How many of them could be out there doing something for God? And they may be. Yeah. I'm not speaking for them, but I'm just saying, you just have that wonder. And did y'all ever want to, did you ever just want to be retired and that's it?
Yes. And yes, sometimes we wonder, why did we ever get into this? And there's so many rewards.
Absolutely.
So many things that can be accomplished.
Well, you're on call, right? I mean,
I
am. I'm on call 24/7 every day of the year.
Wow.
We have a joke that we say between us, and that is, how did we ever have enough time to work? Because what we do now, we have chosen to do as volunteers to give back to the Lord. But many people of various walks of their life can do chaplain-type work without being a formally credentialed and trained chaplain, as Dick and I are. And that is one of the areas in our book that we focused on, was teaching people, you can do this with your next-door neighbor who just lost a relative to suicide, or like the current Colorado shooting in Aurora, who just lost a loved family member, and those remaining behind need to be ministered to. Chaplains of the Bible, we have included talking points in the study guide, which we have, that cover that.
Now, we heard a speaker recently say that these days you don't have to go far to find somebody in crisis. And isn't that the truth? You know, this can be a neighbor, friend, coworker, family member who's lost a job, lost a family member, going through a divorce or whatever. There's so many people in crisis. We tend to focus on the large scale, the natural disasters and the man-made disasters. And, of course, Pat's involved in that, and many, many, many other people are as well. But, you know, they're just opportunities to serve others in a chaplain-like manner that abound every day.
Wow. Now tell us about some of the situations that you've walked into. And has there any been there hostile and don't want you there?
I have not really encountered that. Since I deploy all over the country, you will see, and in Haiti, you will see a different mindset in different geographic areas. But for the most part, and like today as well, when people are in serious crisis, the thing that they want most is to have a set of listening ears and a willing body who is willing and able to bring comfort and hope to them, because the one thing that crisis does is rob the individuals involved in it of their hope and feeling that there is a possibility of relief from the crisis.
Hope because there's a chaplain that cares for them. Hope because there's a God that loves them, and we are able to get the message. You know, we talk about spiritual things with people who are in a teachable moment, as we say.
Wow. Now, during these disasters and stuff, is there something special that you have to do yourself to get yourself, your mindset, your spirit ready when you're going into a place?
Yes. One of the things is, I have the knowledge of how crisis affects one's individual. And so I am always, the moment I get a call or an email blast, whatever it is, I take it to the Lord, because I am not capable, Dick is not capable, and nor is anyone else, of doing anything for another person except by the grace of God. And so we immediately have learned to do instantaneous prayer and ask for God's support and protection in it. And then I apply, and Dick applies, his training, his knowledge, his information that he's learned, and good, wholesome, biblical, common sense. If you follow the commands of Jesus from the Bible, you're going to be able to minister to other people. And you don't have to have an answer for what's happened. What you have to have is the love of Christ and a compassionate heart and listening ears.
That's powerful. Now, would you recommend chaplains to other ministers and laypersons for the ministry?
Recommend chaplaincy?
Yeah.
Well, if the person is psychologically adapted to that, you know, and is ready to serve in this way, has the time and the opportunity for the training and so forth, absolutely. There's not enough people who are trained so that they can be deployed as chaplains. But as we've said before in this conversation, there are many, many, many other people, many more, who for one reason or another may not want to go through the training and certification and so forth, who can serve and help people in many, many ways. And our book tries to help people along this line. And Pat?
There is a key principle here that I have found, because I also work in multiple areas of chaplaincy, including instructing and mentoring, and that is I have not found, and Dick has not found, any area in our society where chaplaincy or chaplain-type work does not fit, from the corporate level down to education, you name it. Business, professional, secular, there's an expression we have, and that is that the church has left the four walls of the building. And basically what chaplaincy does, it brings the gospel to people through individuals being the hands and feet of Jesus. And when presenting the gospel doesn't work through actions and all else fails, then use words.
Yeah, and go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say amen.
Okay.
You know, Pat Mentz, leaving the four walls of the church, one of our endorsers refers to the claim that helping people in time of need is the chief task of the Christian church. That's a pastor who's endorsed our book. And Dave, before we run out of time, will we be able to mention our website?
Oh, yeah, you can do that at any time. Go to mention it right now.
Yeah, okay. It's www.chaplainsofthebible.com. That gives information as to where the book can be purchased in single copies and in quantities as well. Published by Ambassador International in South Carolina.
And the book is not just stories about biblical characters. It's practical applications, and there is a study guide to each chapter. So churches, organizations, individuals, small groups, large groups can use it as a study guide.
13 chapters.
And apply it to whatever area they're choosing to use these time-tested principles. And by that I mean the stories that we presented from the Bible in Chaplains of the Bible are time-tested stories that worked during biblical times, and they still work now.
Amen. Now, after they've read your book and they finished it, they put it down, what do you want people to get?
To get?
Yeah, to get from the book. What do you want them to get from the book?
Well, they hopefully will take with them a passion or a desire that the Lord speaks into each one of them individually that will direct them to be open-minded to bringing service as the hands and feet of Jesus.
Amen.
To their neighbor or the hurting or the community.
Right. Just simply being better prepared to handle that situation that inevitably will come up where there's somebody in crisis right in front of you.
and do it in a godly way.
Amen. Well, give some Christians, we got a couple of minutes left on the show, so give the people out there that are believers and just those that may not even be believers just some simple advice when a crisis hits in their area, what they can do for each other.
Okay. One of the things, I'll take that first, is more than anything, people who are in crisis or trauma, they need someone who identifies with the fact that they are in turmoil. And what that translates into is a pair of listening ears that will take the time in a compassionate, loving way to hear and acknowledge what is happening to them and to bring comfort to them, not answers, because most of the time you can't answer a crisis, but you can bring comfort and hope into the crisis. And you start doing that within the first 30 seconds almost that you're with an individual who's in crisis by telling them, I'm here to hear, what can I do for you? Or how are you holding up? Just that question.
Just looking at it from the standpoint of being prepared for a disaster, small or large, you know, physical preparation. We're all familiar with the advice for preparing for disaster, but emotional and psychological preparation so that we can be part of the solution rather than part of the problem when the problem does arise.
And that includes the spiritual aspect of it as well, because an important factor for anyone who is listening to remember is we are all in, have born in us when God created and formed us, a desire to be able to be in a spiritual place that is outside of man's power. That is an inborn desire in mankind. And to develop and seek to reach a spiritual connection to Jesus is one of the few things that when all else in life has failed by man, that it's one of the few things that can touch the heart and the spirit of man. And there's just no other way to put it. It is a spiritual event that needs to happen in someone's life when they are in extreme crisis or trauma. And only God can do that. It's a supernatural thing. Man does not have that power or authority, but God does. And that's where the helper or the chaplain can come into that individual's life and introduce them to that, if you will.
Amen. Amen. Well, give us your website one more time before we go.
Okay. It's www.chaplainsofthebible.com. And that has links to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and information on ordering quantities of the book.
Amen. Well, I really appreciate you both for calling in and being a part of the show today. And it's a blessing to meet people that serve and to touch people's lives in those times of tragedy. And we pray for you, and we just bless you, and we thank you again.
Thank you. Our pleasure.
All right. God bless you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right,
bye-bye.
Amen. That was Richard and Patricia Geyer. I hope I'm getting that last name right. Gear maybe. Anyway, G-E-Y-E-R. You can get their book, ChaplainsOfTheBible.com. ChaplainsOfTheBible.com. The book is called Chaplains of the Bible. So if you remember the title and you spell it out, it's ChaplainsOfTheBible.com, and you'll be able to hear them and actually see all their website and able to purchase a book. So go get that. And remember our last guest that we had before them, our first guest, Lifted, BeLiftedToday.org. So those are two great books and two different types of ministry. And I tell you what, it's going to be blessed. Hey, well, I'm signing out till August the 9th or 10th. I will be back on the air with y'all, and you'll be hearing some repeats. And I want you to be faithful, because God rewards faithfulness. I will be in Kenya And I'll be doing some evangelism this Saturday, flying out. I'm going to be there for Monday to start ministering all the way till the following Sunday. And so just a short trip, but we're going to see some great things happen. Keep us in prayer. Let us know that you're praying. Send us an email, david@revmedianetwork.com. You can write us. I've got some interesting mail today. And, well, I'm going to read it to you. We got whatever time we got here. Dear Mr. Yanez, it was such a privilege to talk with you and be featured on the broadcast at ICRS. I have pored over the information you gave me about your ministry in India, and I hope God does great and powerful acts through you. I deeply appreciate you kindly. Sincerely, Christine Clemens. Christine Clemens is an author that we interviewed out there, and we really enjoyed her book. And I will highlight her this week on the broadcast. She'll be, all the ICRS shows will be playing out throughout the week. My friends, till I see you again, God bless you, and we'll catch you next time on the Midwatch, and hopefully soon. Amen. We'll see you in a bit. Write me. Let me know you're praying. God bless you.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.